for your word as always. We thank you that the Spirit of God, we ask that he manifest himself here as the teacher. You said, Jesus, that you would not leave us comfortless, but you would send the Holy Ghost who would be our teacher and reveal all things to us. We look to him to teach. I yield myself as a vessel and I pray that he will speak through my mind and speak through my mouth that I'll be an oracle of God. Father, we thank you so much that the word comes forth in boldness today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles up to 3 John 2. That's the epistle of John near Revelations, not the gospel of John. 3 John 2. And we're going to take a look at our text for the whole series on being health. It is God's will that you be healed. It is God's will that you be healthy. God has provided everything we need to be healthy. And all we need to do is be obedient. The Bible says that in this book is everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything that we need to know and should know to live the abundant life that Jesus said in John 10:10. He came to give this thief came to kill, steal and destroy, whether it's kill your life, destroy your marriage, whatever else. Satan came to kill, steal and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It is the will of God that you have an abundant life. An abundant life is not sick days. Abundant life is not being poor. An abundant life is not having insecurities. Abundant life or not having problems in marriage. None of those are abundant life. So therefore, God must have applied in the word of God and supplied us with the word that we need, that if we obey it, it will be well with us. We will be healed. We learned that the curse of the law is trifold. When Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law, what that means, the curse of the law in the Old Testament was trifold. It was poverty. It was sickness and it was spiritual death. Now, we all know you can get born again and get saved by the blood of Jesus and the work of Jesus. We have no problem with that, with one third of it. But when it comes to prosperity, well, you know, I don't want none of this world's goods. Lying, of course, but I don't want none of this world's goods. Lying. You want this world's goods. We just don't love them. We don't love the things in the world, but we do want to be blessed. All right, everybody wants to be blessed. Nobody wants to give God glory by how poor they are, how raggedy their clothes are, and how awful they look, act, behave. No. Doesn't give any glory. We also know that God wants us prospering there. We know on the other side that God wants us to be healed because it says he redeemed us from poverty and sickness. If God redeemed me from sickness, then there must be a way that I can live without being sick. It's not part of the human condition. You do not have to live sick. There are many tribes and native people don't eat a Western diet. There are many people in the world who live their whole life and never even have a common cold because it's uncommon where they live. We just experience it eating a Western diet, so we think sickness, we just accept it. Because we see it everywhere. Everybody gets sick. Everybody has a cold. Most people die. Oh, so-and-so's got arthritis. They've got hypertension. They've got diabetes. Well, you know, they're about 50 or something now. That's about right. It's about on time. We just expect it. We say it's cold and flu season. We begin to expect sickness. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Where's our faith at when we expect sickness? Well, you know, I'm 40-something now. You know, the joint's getting a little stiff. Oh, it ain't nothing but old age. No, that's wrong expectations. Low expectations and toxicity build up in your body. After 40 years, your body said, that's all I can take. I've stood all I can stand, and I can stand no more. And it begins to show you what you've been doing to it and begins to show you the aches and the pains. Say, ah, stop that. Stop doing that. It's a miracle we went 40 years. But let's look here at that text again. It says, I wish above all things. John was talking as he was unctioned by the Holy Spirit to Gaius, but it goes to all Christians. God's not a respecter of persons. I wish above all things that you prosper. I looked that up. They talk about financially be blessed. We're not going to measure it and everybody's going to be a millionaire, but everybody should have more than enough because we serve a God that's a God of abundance. El Shaddai, the God is more than enough. He revealed himself to his people as I am the Lord thy God, El Shaddai. I am a God that's more than enough. When you don't have money to pay your rent, when you don't have money to pay your bills, something's wrong. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Either you're mismanaging the money or you're not taking the job God opened up for you where you would be financially blessed. But God's will is that you have all of your financial and natural needs met. But I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Health, that's talking about your physical body. That's what the Greek means. Your physical body. God wants you healed. The price has been paid. He wants you healed. But it will be according to as your soul prospers. What is your soul, church? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. So God says, I wish above all things that all of you prosper. If you're my children, you're born again, I wish that you all prosper. But this is how it's going to happen. You're going to prosper in accordance to, in proportion to, how your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions prosper. If you're talking about finances and you don't make up your mind to spend less money every month than you make, you will always be broke. I can always throw away more money than God gives me. And there's all kind of churches that try and tell you, you come up and you get the hundredfold miracle, you get all that. I'm going to give you a real revelation from God. If you keep throwing away more money than you make, you're going to be broke and stay broke. That's a revelation from God. God is not to be made a fool of. Wherever you sow, that shall you reap. If you sow in the poverty and destruction in your finances, you'll reap it. But it's also true in your health. It's also true in your health. If you just eat whatever the world says is okay to eat, if they holler, milk does the body good, and you don't question, now where is that coming from? Is that from God or is that from the world? Let me check that out. That's from the world. That's specifically, it's from the milk and dairy industry. The people benefit from you drinking milk no matter what. Milk can do some good things for your body if it's straight out the cow and it's alive. We told you in past tapes, and I highly encourage you to get those, an experiment that was done where they took out 200 cows, 200 calves, and they fed 100 of them the mother's milk, which is fine. Cows have been drinking the cow. Calves have been drinking the cow's milk for years. 6 weeks, 6 weeks later, cows were fine. They took the same mother's milk, homogenized it, heated it up, pasteurized it, fed it back to the baby calves, and all 100 of them were dead in 6 weeks. They could not live on the milk after it was dead. You can't either. It's just your body is slower to cause the problems. You get the mucus, you get the colitis, the ulcerative colitis, the Crohn's disease. You get all the digestive problems. You get all kinds of allergies. When people come to me and say, I got allergies, I get off dairy for 30 days, see if it goes away. Hey, I probably told 20 people that not one of them gotten off of it 100% and not all the symptoms gone away. It's the excess of mucus. Get the tapes. We go into that. But what we want to do is let's press on a little bit further here. We in review, we covered the fact that it's God's will that you be healed. We looked at Proverbs 103, and it said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all thy benefits. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all thy benefits, who healeth all thy diseases and take away their sins. Don't stop on take away the sins. Get the diseases healed, too. We looked at Isaiah 53, where it says he himself bore our sicknesses and our pains on the, Jesus bore our sickness and our pains. It says, by his stripes ye are healed. This was nearly 2,000 years before Jesus came, and it was prophesied by Isaiah that Jesus, by his stripes, you would be healed. It says, by the shedding of his blood, you're saved. We don't question salvation. We question the healing. But in the same 24-hour period, that night he was taken as he sat with his disciples. He was taken from the garden, and they beat him with a cat of nine tails, which is a long bull whip. Rolled in tar, then rolled in glass with a metal ball on the end with spikes. And they beat him and said in Isaiah to his visage, his appearance barely resembled a man. He was a carpenter and he was a carpenter when there were no Black and Decker tools. He was a strong man and Jesus couldn't carry his cross. Just maybe 12 hours later, he had to get somebody else to carry his cross because he couldn't carry it because they had beat him so bad. And the Bible says his appearance didn't even resemble a man. They beat him so bad. He was a bloody mess. The passion of Christ didn't do it justice how bad they beat him. But by his stripes are ye healed. Prophesied 2,000 years before it happened. Now in 1 Peter 2:24, after it happened, says by Jesus stripes you were. Past tense were. By Jesus stripes you were healed. If I were healed, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. By Jesus stripes, I am healed. I don't have to be sick, but I've got to obey the word of God. I don't have to go to hell, but I better obey the word of God or I'm going to hell. If I don't eat right, I'm going to be sick. It's got nothing to do with what Jesus did. Jesus provided salvation, but you know every day folks die and go to hell and didn't get saved. And other folks got saved, die and go to heaven. It's provided, but he doesn't make anybody get saved. Healing is provided, he doesn't make anybody eat right. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, but it'll come according to how your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions prosper. Do you will to find out what eating right is and then will to do it? Do you emotionally addicted to the wrong kind of food? Or do you say food is for nourishment? If it's not nourishing, if it's not food, if God says not food, I'm not putting it in my trap. It's not food. Do we say that or we're emotionally attached to chocolate cake? Oh, you don't know how it makes me feel. It's like it's comfort food. Yeah, it's comfortable until you get sick. I visit a lot of people in the hospital. They don't look very comfortable to me. But that's the product of eating too much of that kind of junk. Shouldn't eat any of it, but if you eat a little bit in moderation, it's not going to kill you. We should get in the habit. We began to look there and we went through the Word of God and we looked at three things that God said that I was able to pull out from the scripture there and studying some of the eating habits in the Old Testament. And I want to reiterate those three to you. These are three biblical health principles that we determined from the Word of God. Number one is eat only substances that God created for food. That's not even hard. That's not even difficult. That seems like it would be obvious. You look at little kids and say, baby, don't put that in your mouth. Don't put that in your mouth. And somebody need to look at you and say, don't put that in your mouth. Don't put that ham sandwich in your mouth. That thing's full of pesticides. That's why God said, don't eat other pig. Don't put that in your mouth. Oh, Pastor, you talk about Old Testament. We'll look at that in just a little while. Jesus didn't come to do away with the Old Testament anyway. He came to fulfill it. There are some things that change under the New Testament. There's other things that didn't change. He still says obey his laws and his commandments. So you got to find somewhere where he didn't require you to obey it before you start. We don't have to kill turtle doves and do all that sacrifice because Jesus said one sacrifice was made once and for all in the Son of Jesus Christ. So, of course, he undid the turtle doves because all that could do was remit sin. It couldn't take away sin. All it could do is atone sin. It couldn't take away sin. So he explained in New Testament what went away. He never changed the eating practices. And we'll study where Peter, Paul, John, James never ate of the unclean animals. Even after Jesus died, buried, resurrected, and 20 years later, Peter said, Father, I've touched no unclean thing. I've eaten no unclean thing. And if you study your biblical history, that was 20 years after Jesus was dead. Peter had been preaching in church for 20 years. And he still said, I hadn't eaten anything unclean. Why didn't Jesus tell him you can eat of the swine now? Why didn't he tell him you can, I did away with all those dietary laws. There's some things in scripture to confuse people when they misinterpret them, and we'll cover those today. Notice point number one was eat only substances that God created for food. And you got to read the Bible to see what God created for food. It's in Leviticus 14 and verses in there. Eat only substances that God created for food. And in the same statement, avoid what is not designed for food. Arsenic's not designed for food, so of course you don't want to eat it. But if you don't know, they put arsenic in the chickens just before they take them to market to make the flesh swell. And then you eat chicken livers. You don't know you're eating arsenic, do you? But it's in there. That's why they say don't eat the organ meats. Don't eat the organ meats. Let's go on a little bit further here. Point number two is, of three biblical health principles, as much as possible, eat foods as they were created. Now, flour is okay. God says eat the wheat, but he also says in the Old Testament, eat it with the kidney wheat within it, which is the germ. But the germ is where the large amount of nutrition and vitamins and nutrients are in it. I mean, it's inside of there, and because that spoils, because that's what's alive, the other part is dead. The part that's alive is what feeds living bodies. Living food goes in living bodies and feeds them. The man decided, since he wants to put it on the shelf and he wants to have a long shelf life so he can make more money, I'm going to take the kidney part out, the kidney wheat out, which is the germ. And then I just have a dead thing that I can put on the shelf for 3 years. Makes me more money. But God said, eat it with the kidney thing in it. And we take it out and put it, make flour out of it. And even on top of that, to make it white, we bleach it. We strip all the whatever is left out of it. So every now and then we throw a little something back in it. It's called enriching the wheat bread, enriching the white bread. I'm wondering if you got to enrich it. Who made it poor the first time? God created it in its natural state to sustain man. And somebody thought they had a better ideal. They're not going to eat it in the way God provided it. They've got a better ideal. And you have to understand, 95% of what's in a grocery store should never be put in your mouth. And that is not a bad estimate. I walk through the aisle sometime, I look and I say, since I started eating better, I'm walking up down the aisle, shouldn't eat that, shouldn't eat that, shouldn't eat that. One person went so far as to say, if it's in a box or a can or a package, don't eat it. Now that's pretty close. Now there's a few things that come in a box you can eat, like a dried soup or something, but most of the stuff, that's about right. And when you go up and down all the pre-packaged, pre-processed, pre-made, white sugar, white flour, none of that stuff should ever go in your mouth if you want to have an optimal health in your life. None of it. Why? Because it's not food, and much of it is not in the position or the way that God created. So as much as possible, eat only substance God created for food. As much as possible, eat foods as they were created before they're changed or converted into something humans think may be better. Think may be better. And point number three is avoid food addictions. Don't let any food or drink become your God. And you know, there's a lot of folks can't do without their do, can't do without their Coke, can't wake up without their cup of coffee. Love chocolate cake, makes me feel good. Girl, I'm so depressed, I got to go eat a whole pizza. People have got to a point where they can't do it. People don't fast anymore. One of the greatest benefits of fasting is it finds out what has control of you. If you have control of your flesh, you can fast and say, shut up, flesh, and go on. Ah, well, I'm going to fast for 3 or 4 days on a little lemon juice and water. Okay, let's go on. We're going to do that. You can say, I'm a juice fast. I'm not eating food. I'm eating juice. Well, I'm just going to drink water for, don't ever fast without water, but I'm just going to drink water for a week. That's all I'm going to do. I've done it for 2 weeks. I didn't die. Now I had to tell my flesh, shut up, flesh, because it'll start talking to you. But see, you know if you're addicted to something when you deny yourself of it. Paul said, this one thing I do is I buffet my flesh. And of course, Christians think he said, buffet my flesh. He did not say, I know this spelled pretty much the same, but the pronunciation is important. Paul didn't say, I buffet my flesh. He says, I buffet my flesh. That means I treat it roughly. I keep it. He looks at, shut up, flesh. Why? Because the flesh will get you in trouble. The flesh will get you in the hospital and be sitting there complaining. I hurt. Well, I guess you do hurt. But don't let your flesh drag your spirit in there, because your flesh is important, because this is your earth suit. When your earth suit dies, you checking out. You're checking out. It's the only one you get. When your body can no longer sustain you due to sickness or whatever, you're out of here. There are no spirits walking around that you've been talking to or you've seen lately without an earth suit. The Bible says you need your earth suit to even be legal. And if you're a human being, you need your earth suit to even be legal in the earth. Other than that, you're supposed to be in heaven or hell. You're not even supposed to be on the earth without an earth suit. So ain't no ghosts to be praying to and no seances to be talking to. Those are familiar spirits. And if you get into that, God said they have nothing to do with them. So yeah, when you go to a seance and you're sitting there and you hear your Aunt Jane's voice come up, baby, you remember the time when just me and you and I told you to keep our secret when you were 8? That's got to be my Aunt Jane. This coexisting at the same time as two planes of reality. There's a spiritual realm. There are spirits in this room. No human spirits other than ours. But there are spirits in this room who have been millennia old. They were right there and they heard what was going on. And if they can find a median or channel to give voice to them, they would tell you what nobody would know but you and your grandmother or you and your husband. So when you go to seance, they'll talk about it. That's all in the Bible. So I don't Ouija boards, all that mess. I know who's behind it. Satan. Know who's behind it. But let's go on here. Three things to remember. Eat only substances that were created for food. Eat as much as possible things in the state that they were created, what we call whole foods. And a natural state. And avoid food addictions. Fast every now and then to check it out. Let your digestive system rest. See if you start having these violent headaches. Sometimes people think it's, I'm really hungry. Why don't you have, now, if you are a diabetic or something like that, by all means, you need to consult things with a doctor. And there's things you can do about eating to get you healed before you do that. So have common sense, okay? Look, if you have to have your sugar and things like that, make sure you stay within that and you begin to believe God, because now you know the goal is God wants me healed. And you begin to study what makes you heal. Don't go off all that stuff, start fasting when you got it, have your sugar and things, okay? I understand that. But the goal is, I want to get here. That's like I tell people on welfare. God wants you blessed. He wants you off welfare. But if you go turn that check back today, you probably going to be hurting next week. You might need to go ahead and get your finances in order and keep taking your check and then get off of it, because I ain't got no money for you. So if the government's passing out money, you take it, but that's not God's best. That's not what God intended. It's not bringing glory to him. But you receive it and go to somebody who's doing well with their finances. Say, help me live right. Help me get my finances straight. And God will get you off. Okay? So don't do crazy things with your medicine. Don't do crazy things with your money. Let's go on here. Remember those three things. You have got to, and I would suggest fasting every now and then if you're able to, just to see what you're addicted to. Take a day off. Just say, I'm not going to eat today. And then don't eat today. And you see if you start having violent headaches or violent problems. If so, you probably got some kind of addiction and need to work your way. Clear out your diet and work your way to where you can. If I don't eat for a week, it doesn't matter. I've done it before many times. It just doesn't matter. If I skip a day eating, it's nothing. Doesn't even matter. I have no addiction to food. There's nothing I have to have. There's nothing I desire to have. I eat because you eat to live. I don't eat to enjoy. I don't eat because it's fun. I eat to live. You keep it right where it belongs. You had to have a healthy attitude about food. It's not God. And if you make it your God, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. Now, I want us to take a look at some of those scriptures I was telling you about in some other areas. If you would, open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy 2. I got a lot of notes, so I'm going to sit down here so I can use this table. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And let's take a look here. We're going to look at what does the Bible really teach about clean and unclean meats. What does the Bible teach about it? I mean, what's really said? Oh, every time you talk about food and meats and stuff like, people say, Old Testament. Well, that's because God started in the beginning what it should be. Now, we looked last time in Genesis 1, in Adam and Eve, the original creation, God revealed his original diet for man. In Adam and Eve's day, one of the first commandments he gave was what they were to eat. He said in Genesis 1, verse 29, of every herb that bears seed that's on the earth, and of every tree that has a fruit that bears seed, I've given you that for meat. Adam and Eve did not eat the animals. The lion laid down with the lamb. It tells us in Revelations that when Jesus comes back, sets up his kingdom on earth, the lion and lamb will lay down again. Ain't going to be no meat eating meat in heaven, because you're not going to be killing. It's not going to be doing all that going on. Wasn't any in God's perfect state in the Garden of Eden. And you know, that's what God intended to be forever until man sinned and all this mess we're in now came about. But he intended for it to be just like that, not eating meat. Now, did he allow us to eat meat? Yes. Something I found interesting, if you track the ages of the different individuals, and we covered that, get a hold of the CDs or the tapes. When man began eating meat, which far as we can track back was in Noah's day on the boat, because they were on a boat for over a year. You know, it was 40 days raining, but it took a long time for it to subside. It kept sending the dove out. He'd come back with nothing. Then finally, after many, many days, he came back, and people estimate it was up to a year that they were on a boat. Well, you're not really growing fresh fruit vegetables in a dark boat. Not a whole lot going on. So they took some fresh produce, but it probably went bad real quick. But God said, of every clean animal, take 7 pair. Of every unclean animal, take 1 pair. Now, I think they might have eaten meat at that time, and they probably ate it raw. But it was a clean animal, and at that time, you know, people eat sushi and raw fish and things. If you eat it right after it's killed, and it's a clean animal, it's okay. Now, I'm not suggesting go around eating raw meat, because our meat is dirty even when it's cooked. We got some bad source of meat here in our society because of what they do when they grow it. But you could do it to potentially live. You could eat raw meat and live. I believe they ate some animals, and that's when it started. But you notice drastically after the flood, nobody was living to 960 years, 550 years. After the flood, it dropped down to 120. That was a huge jump after the flood. Several reasons that stated. One reason is that until all that water came down out of the envelope to cover the earth, we, man, lived and habitated approximately 3 miles below sea level. So we had another 28.8 pounds of pressure on our bodies of oxygen. So we had highly more oxygenated body, which, of course, made us live and everything. Cancer, degenerative diseases all come from a lack of oxygen. For one reason or another, based on what you eat, you lack oxygen. If your body stays oxygenated, you can't get any of those diseases. But blood not flowing well, fat blocking the arteries in the flow of the blood, feeding oxygen to tissue, all those things can create cancer. But when they had 28.8 pounds more oxygen, whoa, you could live a lot longer. So one thing is the water table went up because all that envelope of water that was on the earth fell to the earth, filled up a lot of low areas, and man was now living at a higher elevation, so there's less air. You know, if you go on top of Mount Everest, you better take an air mask. You better take an oxygen mask because the air is too thin up there to keep you alive. If you go in an airplane and you get up 33,000 feet above the ground and you open up the window, you're going to be in trouble. Not only will you get sucked out of a pressurized cabinet, but you also run out of air. That's why these pilots, they had a thing that drops down. If they suddenly lose pressure, it drops down because the oxygen's too thin up there. So understand that that's one reason. But also, if when that time we begin to see the man begin to eat meat, later begin to cook the meat, the age got smaller and smaller till we looked in previous sermons where it said man got it 70 years, where man is promised 70 and 10. A score is 20 years, 60, 10 is 70. You're promised by God 70 years on this earth in health. And it says an additional 10 or more if you live right and you obey the word or you have cause to want to go on. And you've got tribes where people still eat the godly diet, the Hunzas. We talk about the Hunza people. They live on an average of 100 years old and many of them live to be 120. But they eat no meat. They eat no processed foods. They don't have any of this wonderful McDonald's to go to, or Burger King, or Wendy's. They don't have any of that mess at all. It's amazing with all our Western technology, they can even stay alive. Those unsocialized, uncivilized people. That's funny. They don't have the wars we have either. They don't have the crime we have, the man on man. I wonder sometimes who really is uncivilized. And who really has broken the laws of God. I wonder sometimes, if you look at those people, they're lining up to the Bible a lot better than most us. A lot of them. Let's go on a little bit further here. Notice in 2 Timothy 2:15, let me get there, I'm sorry, dropped it. 2 Timothy 2:15. It's an important scripture. This right here will help a lot of people. You know, like I said, there's hundreds, maybe even thousands of denominations. And that happens because Christians do not keep things in context. Somebody sees it. They didn't go to Bible school or didn't study or didn't hear from God. So they create a little circle around it, put a name on it and say, this is who we are. I was raised Baptist. Somebody say we're the Baptists. Some people raise Methodists. Somebody say I'm a Methodist. Somebody raise Catholic. Say I'm a Catholic. And why are we all Christians with all these different titles? Do you know God didn't create any of those titles? God is not Baptist. He's not Methodist. He's not Pentecostal. He's not charismatic. He's not whatever you call yourself either. God is just God, and his church is his church. Men put all these walls up based on misinterpretations or differences of understanding in Scripture. But let's look here. It's not a puzzle. 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? Study. Study to show yourself approved unto whom? To be a workman that need not be ashamed, who is able to rightly divide the word of truth. If you can rightly divide the word of truth, you must be able to wrongly or improperly divide the word of truth. They're still calling it the word of truth, but it can be divided rightly, which will produce truth, or it can be divided wrongly, which will produce error. That's an important point to understand. Now, most theologians, while I'm talking, open your Bibles up to Acts 10. Most theologians assume that God's laws regarding clean and unclean meats ended at Christ's crucifixion. Most theologians believe that, and they teach that and interpret the Bible based on that. They suppose that the new covenant removes the needs for Christians to keep such laws. But is this what the Bible really teaches? Let's take a look at some of the scriptures to see. Some Bible scholars will acknowledge that members of the early church continue to observe the distinctions between clean and unclean meats. You can go back to Jewish people who are still supposedly living in law. You can go to many of the Messianic Jews that are over in Jerusalem who have gotten saved. They still observe not eating of the unclean animals. And we just attribute it, oh, well, they're stuck in the law. Not the ones who are Messianic. They know these things are not good. Science is discovering that they're not good. We'll get a chance to look at some of those, get the tapes. We've looked at many before. However, because the common misconception that the New Testament abolishes much of God's laws, because of this misconception, many people assume that food requirements were simply Jewish cultural practices. And as Gentiles who got born again, we don't need to obey them. We don't need to follow. But that's people who don't understand why God did them. Why God said don't eat horse meat. Why he said don't eat shrimp and crab? Why did he say don't eat it? Well, those are unclean animals. Now, notice we have clean and unclean. Do we believe God just arbitrarily created what's clean and unclean? Hey, I don't like where you look. You're unclean. I like where you look. You're clean. You're a pretty looking cow. You're clean. You're a bad looking boar. You're unclean. You're a nice looking ox. You're clean. You're an ugly horse. You're unclean. No, God considered it clean and unclean for a reason. Most of, the large majority of all animals that the Bible determined unclean are scavengers. Vultures are unclean because they eat of dead, rotting flesh. Maggots and everything else is in it. They consume it, and they have a highly acidic body which can deal with most of them, not kill them, but it still becomes a part of their flesh. Horses carry parasites in their body, and they can live like that. It's natural, but they're not natural to us. So if we eat the meat and it gets inside of us, we're in trouble. It's going to cause a problem. Pigs are scavengers. They will eat anything. Matter of fact, chicken farmers, we have huge chicken farmers, maintain a certain amount of hogs just because they can feed the dead chickens to the hogs instead of bury them. Because hogs will eat anything, and they have a highly acidic stomach, just like human beings. But it's funny, the clean animals, the cow, the lamb, they have low acid stomachs, they have very long intestines, and they're told to eat the same stuff we were told to eat, grass. All the clean animals eat fruits and vegetables and nuts and berries. All the dirty animals eat other meat, garbage, and everything else. Now, we need these animals because they clean up the environment. The lobster scavenges on the bottom. You can take crab and lobster and put them in a pool of water that's just deadly for you to drink, and they will purify that water in 2 weeks. They'll purify the water. They are designed to take in the toxins. And then their body processes them, and then it leaves it clean. They're designed to scavenge, to clean up. In Philadelphia, they've used hogs late 1800s. They've used hogs, and it saves them $3 million a year because on landfill costs. Because they put the hogs out there and feed the garbage to them, and they eat through just about everything in there, then they just put the clean trash away. But that's what they're designed to do. That's a good use for a pig, not to put it on your plate and have a piece. That's a much better use for a pig. Everybody knows, and if you don't believe it, I gave you an example, an illustration. You go and get yourself a pig. Go to the market and get yourself a pork roast or something. Go to a chemistry lab or to a funeral home and get a little embalming fluid. And you put maybe a teaspoon of embalming fluid on that meat that you got from Publix, Winn-Dixie, Safeway, Safe Shopper, wherever you buy at. And you watch what crawls out of it alive.
You watch what crawls out of it. And I'm telling you, you go get an eating piece. I don't care. I don't think they sell it in Whole Foods, but if they do sell pork in Whole Foods, get that one too. And watch what crawls out of it. That's why they say heat it to 160 degrees. They are living organisms that are natural in a pig. A pig can live fine with that stuff in it. A pig's flesh is made like that. Ours is not. That is an unclean animal. It's not clean, meaning you eat what's clean, you don't eat what's not clean. God called it unclean because he knew what was in it. It is scavenger meat. And it has things in it that are deadly to your body. Your body, you should eat the animals that eat the things God told you to eat. Range animals, lambs, sheep, goats, things like that. Not animals that eat other dead animals, lions and tigers and this kind of stuff. Because the meat is unclean. And all those animals' bodies are designed to deal with that. You study the human body and you look at the intestine. The human beings have a very long intestine, our digestive tract. Animals, you go to a veterinary, look at the chart of a cat, it's almost a straight tailpipe. They eat that thing, it hits the stomach and whoop, right out. They'll eat and they'll go poop. They'll eat and they'll go poop. We eat and some of that stuff's in there 3 or 4 days. Now seriously, if you take a piece of steak, you go have yourself a good 12-ounce steak, you eat your steak, you put all your stuff on it, throw a starchy potato behind it, that would be with you a minimum of 4 days. Unless you use something to wash it out, so a bunch of fruit or something, it'll be with you a minimum of 4 days. Now, in your body is 98.6 degrees. You take a piece of meat and you lay it on a table in the sun at 98.6 degrees day and night, and you come back 4 days later and you'll find surely it stinketh. You think it stinketh any less in your body? I don't have to use deodorant. I use it on Sunday and Wednesday when I have to preach, but most of the time I don't put any deodorant on because I don't eat anything that makes me stink. You shouldn't be stinking. People smell like that because there's rotting flesh inside of you. There's rotting food inside of you. You're putting things in you to make you unclean. And you begin to smell. You go to the zoo and you go to the carnivore cages, those that eat meat, the lions, the tigers. You go to the herbivore cages and it's a totally different smell. And just think, it goes right out of their system because their colons are very short. So what they eat shoots right out. You go and shove meat in a long colon designed for mostly fruits and vegetables and just a little bit of meat, if any at all. Surely it's stinking. You're going to need more than deodorant. You're going to need the 5-day deodorant just to get through 2 days. Now, I don't know who goes around that long without bathing, but, I don't know. But I guess it's nice to know if you know it. After all, go buy yourself some Sure. The best thing to be sure is don't eat stuff that's going to putrefy and rot in your defecation in your body. Because everything in the colon ends up back in the body. When you have that stuff in there, it leaches off, it goes through the blood, it comes through your sweat pores because your body's trying to get rid of it. And if you're constipated and it's not moving quick enough through your colon, it's going to come out through your sweat ducts. And that's the smell we get. Because we've eaten things that are unclean. We're putting things in them. You can eat a little bit of meat in moderation. But most of the people do eat it. Like when we were in Africa, a lot of it was pureed. The concept of a big piece of steak, even a big side of beef, just wasn't a common concept in Africa. You know, you might have meat and it's stewed down so much you wouldn't even know it was meat over in the stew. So therefore, it digests right through your body. You get the protein from it, it digests right through. Right through. Let's take a look at Acts 10:9. Now, I want to take a look at some of these things because people are always talking about, what the Bible say? Pastor Cook, don't tell me nothing about the Bible said, you Old Testament. I said, well, let's just look at the New Testament and see some of these things people misunderstand. Acts 10, and let's look at verse 9. Acts 10, let me get there with you. Acts 10, and I want to take a look at a few of these because I'm going to take the time. There are so many, I don't have time to go through all of them, but I want to go through some of the major ones so at least it'll get you curious enough to say, maybe what people have been telling me about the New Testament and God having done away with what kind of meat is clean and what kind isn't clean, maybe that really wasn't done away with. Let's look at some of the common scriptures. There's more than I can cover, but let's look at some of the common ones. Acts 10, verse 9. Are you there? Acts 10. Well, let me catch you. For some reason, I'm in John. Acts 10, verse 9. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, which is around noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, he went up there to pray. His custom was to pray. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And in his trance, he had a vision. A trance is kind of half sleep, half awake. He fell into a trance, and in that trance, God gave him a vision. And he saw the heavens, the sky open, and a certain vessel descending unto him. And it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners. Like if you have somebody holding a sheet by four corners, and it begins to let down. And it let down to the earth out of heaven. And he saw this in a vision, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And they came, there came a voice to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, you're talking to a Jewish person. Now, I should state the context here. This incident is nearly 20 years after Jesus was dead, buried and resurrected. This is New Testament, people. This is not Old Testament. Most of the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus being alive. He hadn't shed his blood. So most of the New Testament that we call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most of the Gospels are Old Testament. It's only after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and he went up to heaven, put his blood on the altar, did the New Testament begin. Now, this is 20 years after Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected. So this is 20 years later. Understand the context. New Testament. The church we live in now, the New Testament church. Peter sees his unclean stuff, this sheep full of these animals that are unclean. And a voice comes and says, rise, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord, not so, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. 20 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, all Jewish people knew what clean and unclean was. They said it was four-footed animals and fowls, so we know it was animals, not fruits and berries and nuts. It was animals that he saw in his vision. And they were unclean animals. And Peter said, his response to the vision is, Lord, I had 20 years after Jesus' dead, buried, resurrected in the New Testament church, I didn't eat nothing unclean ever in my life. No pig, no vulture, none of that, no horse, nothing. I've eaten nothing unclean. What? Well, I mean, didn't Jesus explain to him, you can eat whatever you want to eat now? I've come to do away with the Old Testament. Obviously, Peter didn't think so. And Peter, right behind Jesus, was the foundation of the church. Petrus, the rock of the church. And he, the Catholic people, even elevated him to the status of Pope and called him the Pope. But this individual here says, I had no ham sandwiches. And I do no sandwich. But he said, I had no ham sandwich. Lord, I ain't had none. I ain't eat nothing. Nothing according to, what do you think he meant by unclean? The Jewish law. I've eaten nothing that was determined unclean according to law, even though I had the revelation of Jesus to go around and preach and found the church. Still, I knew not to eat anything unclean. I have never eaten any. Well, maybe this incident that's coming is now letting him know he can eat stuff that's unclean. That's what most people say. Let's take a look and see. Let's go down to verse 16. 15 says, and the voice spake unto him again. Now, Peter responded and said, I ain't eating nothing unclean. Now, he just saw the vision and the voice said, slay and eat. He said, no, 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 I don't do that. I don't play that. I don't eat unclean stuff. I keep the law concerning eating. I keep your law concerning eating. I'm obedient. He said, no. And the voice spake unto him again a second time and said, what God have cleansed, that call not unclean or common. Now, wouldn't that sound like the voice is saying, hey, here's all this stuff you shouldn't eat. Then Peter says, I don't eat that stuff. Then God's, hey, I cleanse that. You mean not eat it? You better eat it. Now, if you do like most people who don't understand context, what's before it, what's behind it, who wrote it, who were they talking to, what is the context is in, is it New Testament or Old Testament? There's at least 16 different points of context that have to be considered before you say the scripture says something. If everybody considered them, there'd only be one denomination, the Church of God. And I'm not talking about a denomination called the Church of God. I'm talking about the Church of God. But some folks stop right there and they say, there it is. There you have it. God was trying to teach Peter to Peter, you wasted your time. You could have had all them ham sandwiches and pork hot dogs, ribs, man. You don't know what you've been missing. You could have had them. Let me show you the truth. The truth is you can eat it. If I stop there, that's a reasonable conclusion, wouldn't you think? I mean, that's reasonable. I mean, is that unreasonable? If you stop right there, it seemed like God was straightening Peter out. But let's not stop there. Let's keep reading. Verse 16 again. This was done. Verse 16. This was done thrice. Not only a first time did God say slay and eat, but a second time he said, look, don't call that which I clean unclean. He said it again three times. And then the vessel was received up again in heaven. And that was his vision. That was what happened. Now, if you stop at that point, you get a misunderstanding. But look at verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted, see, Peter still didn't know what it meant. You know what doubt means? Maybe I really don't know what it means. Maybe it mean that, but God said in his law, don't eat that stuff. Maybe it don't mean that. Doesn't mean that. I don't know. See, I want you to understand what the word of God, everything in the word of God is for a purpose. So if they say Peter doubted, they want you to understand he wasn't sure what it meant. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, what does that mean? See, so he must have had a question and didn't automatically mean it meant he could eat unclean food. He wasn't sure what it meant. And then it goes on to another part of the story. But I want you to understand here, Peter wasn't sure. But let's skip ahead to verse 28 and see if he ever got sure. Verse 28, if you read through the story, there was a man named Cornelius who was praying. And that man Cornelius, who was a Gentile, was praying. And they said, if you send to Peter, Peter would tell you about Christ and you could be saved. So now he was the first Gentile in his family that God let get saved, because Gentiles couldn't get saved. Only Jews could be saved. But then that was what they were teaching them. No, no. 20 years after Jesus' death, buried, let's teach to the church now. Don't be just get, obviously they in 20 years after Jesus' death, they'd gone to Jerusalem and they were getting the gospel was Jerusalem. A lot of people already saved. Now let's spread out to the Gentiles. And this was new to them because the Gentiles themselves were considered by God unclean. Just like God still considers us unclean, eating unclean and having unclean spiritual practices. Do you think God considers sinners clean? Sinners to God are still unclean. He puts them in a totally different category from those who have been cleansed. We call it washed in the blood. We're clean. We've been washed in the blood through faith. They're unclean because they're not saved. They haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord. So God's still into that clean, unclean thing. But let's look here. He considered Gentiles up to that point unclean and they were not worthy of salvation, at least to what Peter knew. But let's go on here. And it says in verse 28, and Peter said to Cornelius, who had sent for him, he came there. He began to talk to him. And people were like, hey, you can't be getting Cornelius saved. You can't get that Gentile saved. That's not allowed. And Peter began to tell him now that he understood the vision. He began to tell him. Look at verse 19 again real quick. It says while Peter thought on the vision. Notice in verse 17, he wasn't sure. But in verse 19, he thought on the vision. And the Spirit said unto him, behold. See, he thought on the vision. He continued to think about it. Then look at verse 28. After he obeyed, at the same time, God was speaking to Cornelius, telling Cornelius to call unto Peter. And Peter would tell him about Jesus Christ, the Savior. But he was a Gentile. But he telling about the Savior. So Peter came, and by the time Peter got there, God had told Peter just what he needed to know in order to know what he needed to know when he got to a Gentile for the first time wanting to be saved. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful. It is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to even keep company or come unto one of another nation. I don't care if you were African, if you were Spanish, if you were Italian or whatever you were, Jewish people had a circle of their own. And God said, these are my people and you be not one of my people. I don't care whether you're a black one, a brown one, a yellow one, a green one. You be not one of my people. We were all to the God that we serve, dirty Gentiles. All of us, no matter what tribe, nation or people you come from, God had one set of people in that day. And that was the people he chose through Abraham because he was the ones he revealed himself and taught faith to. But because they did not receive Jesus, the true God said, you've turned against me. I came into my own. They received me not. Now have I opened up this great salvation to all whosoever will let him come. Whosoever will confess Jesus Christ as Lord will be cleansed and washed in the blood. And that includes the African, the Chinese, the Israel. God, ain't got no, the only favorite people he ever had is Jerusalem's. Jewish people. Now the only favorite people he has is those that are saved and called Jesus Lord. The rest of them ain't his favorites. I'm sorry, whatever you believe, but you ain't his favorite by this Bible here. And you can use whatever Bible you want to use, believe whatever you want to believe. According to this Bible, if you're a Christian, you claim this Bible. This one says, if you ain't saved, you haven't said Jesus is your Lord. You're not clean to God. Now, that's just the way it is. Don't argue with me. Argue with the Bible. And he said unto them, ye know how that is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep coming. They said unlawful. Peter knew it was against the law to even have anything to do with Gentiles or come into another nation. But God hath showed me. I wonder when did God show him? Being in the context of the passage, having a vision at the beginning, at the same time he had the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke to a man Cornelius in a vision and told Cornelius to send him to Peter, Cornelius was a Gentile, and that he would come and teach him about Christ so that he could be saved. Now, he had to prepare Peter because Peter wouldn't even go on in his house. But by this time, Peter understood what it meant, and he knew it was unlawful to come into other nation. But God have showed me, Peter said, that I should not call any man common or unclean. When did God show him that he should not call a man unclean? When did he get from a sheep full of animals to a man? The Holy Spirit gave him revelation as he thought on the vision. And he had to think on the vision, otherwise he would not have even gone in the man's house to deal with him. Because you got to understand Jewish law. When you had somebody like Peter said, I kept the law to the best of my ability since my birth, he wouldn't do it. He said, I ain't eating nothing unclean 20 years after Jesus' death. I still ain't nothing unclean. I keep the law. I keep the commandments of God. I walk with Jesus. I talk with Jesus. I love God. I believe in God. He was staunch. He was tooth and toenail Christian. He wouldn't have gone in there and let nobody get saved unless God told him that now he has opened up to the Gentiles salvation. And that's what the vision meant. The vision had nothing to do with food at all. So when people take it and say that meant now you can eat it, Peter slay and eat, he didn't say, Jelani slay and eat. He didn't say, Calvin, go get a pig and slay and eat it. Alfred, go get yourself some vulture and slay and eat it. He didn't say that. He never undid that. Not by that verse. Now look at verse 45 and 48 and you'll find out, you'll recognize that the real intent of the vision, Peter baptized the first Gentiles, the first non-Israelites who God called into the church. That was the beginning of something new. Gentiles could now be saved, because before they still weren't ministering Gentiles, but they now found out Gentiles can now be saved. That was new to them, that God extended that to Gentiles. Verse 45, it says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Jewish people followed Peter, were like, what? How can these folks receive the Holy Ghost? These folk are Gentiles. How in the world are they going to fill with the Spirit? And Peter went on and said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then they answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Then they had the nerve to go ahead and baptize them into Christ. Got them saved. Got them filled with the Spirit, with evidence speaking in tongues. In the New Testament, people, for those pastors tell you tongues ain't for today. This is New Testament. 20 years after Jesus said, Peter was still getting folks saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It ain't of the devil. It didn't go out in the apostles' days. The apostles didn't even speak in tongues that after Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Before that time, Jesus said, that's why they call people believing baptism of the Holy Spirit Pentecost, the 50th day. After Jesus said, you stay and you tarry, and I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send another Holy Spirit. He'll teach you all things. When he comes, he shall fill you with the Spirit. And then they said, upon the 50th day, as they were all in the upper room, came in the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it lighted upon them as clothes of tongues. They all began to speak in other tongues. And they went out, and from that day forward, the church was filled with the Spirit. No need to tarry to receive the Holy Spirit. All you need to do is receive by faith. You had to tarry because it wasn't yet in the earth. Now that he's in the earth, ain't nobody got to tarry. You don't have to wait on it. You just receive it. It was there. See, if you understand the context of things, a lot of churches got a lot of stuff whacked out on taking parts of a verse and misunderstandings. The Bible is not a crazy book. It's not difficult to understand. It's just like any other book. You can't start on page 409 of the calculus book or skim the book and then talk about you know calculus. There's all kinds of people preaching saying they know what the Bible says about a subject. Don't even know everything the Bible commented on that point in the subject. Don't even know it. But yet they go around and start a denomination. When they differ with somebody else, they maintain a fight more than they try to reconcile around the word. Let's just put it to the test and let's see what the scriptures say. It says here, can a man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Where did he get that from? Jesus said, baptize them in my name. The first Gentiles, 20 years of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. After Peter had a vision that told him they're not unclean. Don't say these Gentiles unclean. God has showed me in a vision that that which he has cleansed is not unclean. God showed him. If you keep that whole chapter in context, what are they talking about? Did they say anything about food? They show the illustration of animals and people just stop at verse 16 and start thinking it was food. But they go on and explain this. By confusing, people talk about Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Some preachers teach he had a pussy eye. Now he going around healing folks. They getting supernaturally healed, but God won't heal him. He got a pussy eye. Some people teach Paul had a club foot. He going around healing people of all kind of ailments, but he got a club foot. I'd be like, heal yourself. If the God, you saying God, Paul's teaching God ain't respect a person, but he walking around with a pussy eye and sick, getting other people healed. It takes a preacher to help you misunderstand something that simple. You can't misunderstand it by yourself. And if you keep reading in that text, right after it says, and Paul said, at least that I've received such a great abundance of revelation, it was given unto me by Satan, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. Messenger means angel or one assigned to buffet him. And Paul said, everywhere I go, I mean, I've been at peril at sea, at peril at land. Paul told him the thorn in the flesh was a messenger from Satan to buffet him because of the great revelation to make sure he ran into hell and high water everywhere he went. Everywhere he went in Rome or in Gentile land to preach the gospel, folk wanted to stone him. I've been stoned thrice, 40 stripes minus one. I've been shipwrecked at perils at sea, at peril of robbers. I've been spent a day and a night in the ocean. He just went on and he said, that's the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. He never said it was a pussy eye or a club foot. But people read the same Bible you and I read and they come up and they deduce that. No wonder they got all these denominations. Folks ain't reading the whole Bible and keep yourself in context. Peter's vision did not concern food at all. Rather, it concerned people. It demonstrated that God was beginning to offer salvation to the members of any race. Whereas before it was held to his chosen people only, but now it was open to any race. And that Gentiles could now become members of the church. So now the African people become members of God's church. The white Europeans could become members of God's church. The Romans. The people from China could become members of God's church. But see, it's God's church. Far from abolishing God's instruction against eating unclean meats, these verses show that almost 20 years after Christ's death, Peter had never eaten anything uncommon, and we have nowhere in Scripture that indicates him or any of the other apostles or ministers ever ate anything that was uncommon. Nowhere in Scripture will you find where they ever ate of the pig. They still maintain the dietary laws of the Old Testament. Because the laws were related for the health of our flesh. God began to talk about what to eat before the law came in existence when he gave laws to Genesis and Genesis about what to eat. He had laws, Moses defined the laws even more so. Because more people were on the earth now. Adam and Eve had two people. They didn't have all the garbage and the trash. Moses had, it was over a million people on earth when Moses came. So they had trash was starting to accumulate. And they said, don't touch this. Don't mess with this. They told them how to handle it. They told them, don't even touch dead animals that are unclean. Don't even touch them. If you touch them, you got to go through a ceremonial washing and be unclean for so many days because you touched the carcass of a dead animal. God was dealing with dietary laws and sanitation laws because now there were so many people creating so much garbage. It used to be a time in the 1900s we didn't have sanitation departments. Everybody just threw the trash out the back window and went on. But when you start getting cities and you got millions of people on a small piece of land, you better have a sanitation department or you have disease running rampant. Unless you got a bunch of pigs and a bunch of vultures and other stuff eating that stuff and clean it up. But in a city, there's too much for the animals to clean up. So therefore, you begin to get disease. God said, keep my commandments. His commandments included how to eat and how to handle trash. He said, keep my commandments and my laws, and none of the diseases that were in Egypt will come upon you. Follow my laws. You won't have the pesticides. You won't have tapeworm. You won't have trichinosis from eating pork meat that people get. You won't get it. You won't get the one that comes from eating rabbit meat. You won't get the ones that come from eating horses. You won't get it because you're not eating animals that have it in them to be gotten. God knew this. He said, eat of the clean animals. Why? Because those other ones are dirty. Don't eat that. That's dirty. That's bad for you. It's not good for your flesh. Let's go on a little bit further. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. When reading through the New Testament, though, we do find references to a controversy in the early church about involving food. There are some references about involving food. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 8. Oh, I can't deal with all of them that people misunderstand. Don't have the time, but I will deal with some of the major ones. 1 Corinthians 8. All right, now let's start with verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But knowledge just puffs up, but charity or love edifies. And if a man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth not as he thinks he should. Skip down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Now, people, of course, out of context, look at that and say, well, that means you can eat whatever you want to. Doesn't matter. Well, is that really what he was talking about? Let's look at that. Because, see, there's a lot of scriptures like that in the New Testament. The people look and they run off with the other one, the most common. Then they go this one, say, well, God said, if we eat or if we eat not, nor are we the better. But, see, what did it say in the context of the beginning of that chapter? Now, as touching things offered to, what is the context of this passage? Meats that have been offered to idols. In that day, the Jewish people, even though they were born again and were saved now, the Christians, they were like, a common practice was to take the sacrifice. The pagans would do this, not the Christians. The pagans would take the sacrifice and offer it to idols, false gods. And what was left over, they would take and sell in the market. So the Christians were like, hey, now I'm down here at, you know, Jerusalem Tech here. I mean, down here at, let's say a Gentile. They're over in Rome. I'm down here at the supermarket at Publix in Rome. And, you know, they telling me some of this meat came from the pagan idols and they were offered. And some folks were saying, don't eat nothing offered to an idol. Don't even touch it. Don't even get near it. Like Jehovah's Witness say, don't cut down Christmas trees because there's a scripture in the Old Testament where it said pagans cut down trees. Isn't that Christmas? So they say don't cut down trees. That's why you shouldn't have a tree. I always tell Jehovah's Witnesses also saying they use forks and knives to cut their sacrifice. Should I quit using forks and knives too? That's faulty logic. That's poor hermeneutics, proper biblical interpretation. Just because somebody else used it, the evil is not better than the good. You cut down a tree, that don't mean I can't cut down a tree anymore. If you use a fork and knife in a worship, and Paul, I'll show you in just a moment, said it doesn't matter whether it's offered to an idol or not. That's what Paul came to. That's the conclusion. That matter is offered. But they were concerned, rightfully so. Hey, you know, this don't seem right to me. You know, eating meat that's been offered. Now, we got folks that will eat the pig, but they probably wouldn't eat it if they knew it was offered to Baal, some false god. But Paul's saying it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Let's go on. This is what this is about, because they established the context by saying, now, people, so you don't mess it up, I want to talk to you concerning things about meat offered to idols. Is he talking about anything other than meat offered to idols? Not if you keep it in context. Why did he even put that there? Why did he have to preface that and say concerning things offered to idols? Now, as touching things offered to idols, why do you have to put that there? Every word in the Bible is important. That appears in the original Greek text just like that. Concerning things offered to idols. Heading. Let's talk about meat offered to idols. Don't take it out of context and apply it to whether they're talking about clean and unclean meat. They're talking about it being offered unto idols. Let's go on here and take a look at some of these things, see what he said about it. Meat was often sacrificed to the pagan on pagan altars and dedicated to pagan gods in Paul's day. Later, this meat was taken down to the market for public sale. Some Christians wondered if it was morally right and morally corrupt, or whether it was just apprehensible that they would eat something that was partially committed to a god. I mean, given to a pagan god. But it's something we need to keep in mind. It's interesting to note that in Acts 14:13, the only passage which tells us about what kind of meat was offered to idols in the whole New Testament, and it says that they offered an ox. And an ox is a clean animal. So actually, the animals that they were offering were clean animals. So they're not even talking about pigs, and rather, they're not talking about meat offered. And then when Paul says it doesn't matter if it was offered, eat it anyway, the pagans used clean animals to offer. They didn't offer the dirty animals, even by their own standards. They offered the clean animals. The only illustration we have is oxes. An ox is a clean animal. We can eat ox. It's like a cow. We can eat that. Ox tails are good. We can eat that. So they were not talking about clean or unclean animals. I used to eat ox tails with rice. They were good. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. A few of y'all from the South. Some of us talk about ox tails. Hey, don't look at me. You eat hot dogs. That's chitlins rolled up in skin. Intestines and everything else. That's why I love it when you look on a pack of hot dogs and you look at what kind of meat it is. They say byproduct meat. That's what's left by when anything anybody want to buy has already been taken out. Eyeballs, gristle, hair, whatever's left by the side. Chitlins, tripe. If you eat a hot dog, you ought to shut up about what anybody else eat on this planet. And you love it. It's the American way. Oscar Mayer Wiener. Yeah, I don't eat those either. But let's go on here. This controversy, notice that the ox were clean animals, but the crux of this controversy, keeping in context, was not over the kinds of meat that should be eaten. Obedient Jews of the day, in accordance with God's instruction, his original instructions, did not consider unclean meat even to be a possible food source. So they wouldn't be asking the question about, can we eat this pig that was offered on the idol? They were talking about meat that was clean, because they wouldn't even go to the grocery store and buy stuff from the market that was unclean. They didn't consider it edible. The meat was animals that was clean, but their issue was, should we eat it when it's been offered partially to an idol? What should we do, Paul? You're the head of the church right now in Rome. What should we do? And Paul began to share with them that, hey, it doesn't matter. Let's go on a little bit further and take a look at that. In Paul, verse 8 there, it said, now God's instruction not consider unclean meats even to be possible source of food. The controversy dealt with the consciousness of each believer, whether in their conscience they had a problem with eating it or not. And of course, Paul went on and to say in Romans, he said, anything that you do is sin to you. So it's lawful to eat clean meat even if it was offered to an idol, but if you think it's a sin for you to eat it. Because if you, anything that's not done of faith is sin. If you think it's a sin to eat meat at all, it's a sin for you to eat it. But you can't support from the Bible. That's why I always tell people, I think it's wrong to eat meat. I don't eat it right now. I'm not against it. If I wanted a piece, I'd get a piece. But I just don't eat it just for other reasons. But I cannot tell anybody you cannot eat meat, because God has allowed meat to be eaten. But I would tell you, do not mistake the meat that's in Publix and Safeway and Shopway and all this kind of stuff as the same meat Jesus ate. We said in the tape, you need to get those tapes. It said that the meat that Jesus ate was free range. That means the muscle built up, and it ate the food God told it to eat. It wouldn't eat what God told it not to eat, because it's not in its instinctual instinct to eat it. It would only eat meat that God approved for it. But what we do in the cattle industry is we take them, we pin them up, and we force feed them dead animals as a source of protein. We grind up the bone as a source of calcium, and we make carnivores out of animals God meant to be herbivores. And we force feed them corn because that gets the fat all throughout the meat. Get the tape. We said in old tape what God said about don't eat the fat of an animal. He told them, do not eat the fat of an animal and do not drink the blood. Because the fat here holds the toxins, your fat and the animal's fat. That's why people with fat have a higher rate of disease than anyone else, because they have more places to store the toxins, so they store in the fat, and eventually when it fills up, can't store it anymore, it begins to leak and cause disease. We talked about where the diseases are. Prostate is a fatty organ. Your colon is a fatty organ. Your brain is a fatty organ. Women's breasts are fatty organs. Have you ever heard anybody with bicep cancer, tricep cancer, calf cancer, thigh cancer? You don't have cancer in the major muscle groups usually. It happens where the fat is at. That's why God said, do not eat the fat of the animals. He wasn't trying to stop you from having some juicy fat. And what we've done in the world system, we now take, I told you I used to sell beef. We take the cows and we fatten them up. We pin them up. We force feed them corn because it's high sugar and it makes them get fat. And it gets a good marbling texture where the fat gets where you can't cut it off the side of the meat anymore. It's all in the meat. The average cattle that we eat in the grocery store has been fattened up to 40 to 60% for slaughter. 40 to 60% fat by body weight is what we get in the grocery store. Jesus had 4 to 6% fat by body weight in the range animals. If you go look at cows in Africa, the range, you've got some skinny cows, but that's what it's supposed to look. Ours are just fat. Just like we look at some African people and some native people and some tribal people. Man, them folk all skinny. They ain't skinny, you just fat. America is the fattest people on the planet. Probably ain't nobody been as fat as us but Rome. And we act just like the Romans, eat anything, anytime. And we're big as they are. They keep moving the average up. They sent home telling us that our three kids are underweight. They do those little, the nurse does those screening. Our kids are fine. They just ain't fat like your kids. So, and remember, they're using national averages. You better not be hitting the national average. If you're hitting the national average, you got the average problems they have. And if you're not, they're working in your body. We should be lean. You look at people who eat right. They're not fat. Now, somebody just getting started, the weight's going to come down, so I'm not putting anything on anybody. But I'm telling you, when you eat right, you live right, and you eat God's diet, you can't get fat. Because eating foods is not going to be excessively fat. If you're going to get meat, you're going to go get range meat from Whole Foods or Wild Oats or one of the nutrition stores. You're not going to go buy the regular meat from the stores. Now, there's a few, Helen gets range chicken, when she was cooking meat, she get range chickens from Publix. So they do have some organic section. It's beginning to grow. But you need to give up the other stuff because it's making you sick. Whether you know it or not, it's making you sick. And God said, don't eat it. Now, he didn't say you couldn't eat the cow, but see, he said, don't eat the fat. So if they take the fat in the world system and force it into the meat where you can't get it out, does that mean you should eat it? Let your conscience be your guide. I don't eat it. This controversy was not over kinds of meat again. Now, Paul explained that in 1 Corinthians 8:4 again. I'm sorry, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 8:4 and let's just look there real quickly. 1 Corinthians 8:4, which was the text. He says, concerning therefore, what did I say, 1 Corinthians? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 8:4. It says, and concerning therefore eating of those things which are offered in idols or unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing. See, remember, people were like, I can't eat what's offered to an idol. God doesn't recognize any God other than him. He's saying all them pagan gods are nothing. He said, man, you ain't got to worry about that. It ain't like they really offered it to anybody. It's just a figment of their imagination that they have a God. Their God is made of wood, stay in Hubble. Their God is made of some fake something. Their God ain't real. Jesus, Paul said, if it's a clean animal, you can eat it. Just because they put the hocus pocus on it doesn't mean anything stuck. I offered this to Baal. Baal is nobody. I offered it to Confucius. Confucius is nobody. I offered it to Muhammad or anybody else. They nobody too. They're people who need a savior. They need Jesus. That's what it is. Not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but I don't make no qualms. I'm a Christian. I believe this Bible. And you're free to believe the one you want to believe, but dare not say you believe in Jesus and not believe his teaching. That's just to be foolish. If you decide today whether you're a Christian or whether you're something else, if you're something else, that's fine. You got the right to be something else. But if you believe the Bible, that's your standard. And if something's in there and is right, you believe this is right. And he says, an idol is nothing. Any other God that people set up is nothing. Any other cause people set up is nothing but the cause of Christ. It's all nothing. And Paul says, and concerning therefore eating those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one God. So Paul said, if they offer it to idol and it's still fresh meat, have yourself a piece. if it's good beef and it's lean beef and you want to get some and they got a good price on it, don't worry about it off the idol. They ain't do nothing but do some wasted ceremony. The meat's fine. That's what Paul said concerning meat that was off the idols, not concerned whether we eat clean and not eat clean based on that first scripture I turned you to that appeared as though it talked about something else, didn't it? It appeared that they were talking about something else, but they were not. You remember that? It appeared in verse four, and did they drink the same spiritual drink? They drank the spiritual, I'm sorry, where was I at? When we first started, it's 1 Corinthians 8:4. And you remember, 8:1 said touching things, and 8:4 says concerning therefore eating those things off the idols. Paul cleared it up. He said, I wasn't talking about you can eat anything. I was not talking about you can eat anything. I was not saying all meat was clean, everything was fine. He's saying everything in and of itself, and Jesus said it somewhere else, everything in and of itself is clean. Nothing in and of itself is dirty, but he's talking about for the purposes that God intended to use for it, not as a general blanket statement to just be wholesale used for anything. Another one is in Romans 14. Romans 14, Paul made a statement. Romans 14, 14, flip there real quick. Romans 14, 14. Here's another one that's real common. Are you getting anything? Romans 14, 14. I had to at least give you some of these, because as soon as you go out of here and you start talking to folks about anything that even sounds like they can't have their ham sandwich, they're going to be talking crazy to you. And I'm talking Pastor so-and-so and his assistants. The Lord allowed that, and you living by the Old Testament, brother. No, you just want a ham sandwich. That's all. That's why you look the way you look. Big, thick, fat, heavy neck. Tall. Is that the way God wants you to look, brother? Is that the way he wants you to take care of the temple, Pastor? Pastor, you got diabetes? Well, I guess ain't no hope for me. If you know God and you got diabetes, and I'm trying to learn him from you. Best I can do is have what you have. You better watch going to doctors that are sick and listen to preachers that are sick if you're concerned about being healthy. Obviously, ain't got no revelation in that area, or they're disobedient to God in that area. Be careful about going to physicians who are sick. Let's look here. You still there? Where are we at? 14:14. Okay, it says in 1 Corinthians, but put ye on the Lord Jesus. No, that's not it. I'm in the wrong place. 14:14. Here we go. I was in 13:14. I know, Paul said, and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean in of itself. That verse I referred to. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him is unclean. Now, people read that and they begin to think that that means there's no animal that's unclean. Do you think that means there's no poison? Nothing you put in your mouth is unclean? See, people look at that and it's a weaker argument, but they look at it and they still make the argument that Paul was teaching. Now, Paul's the same one was teaching over Corinthians. Remember that. And it tells us, we learn by history, that many Bible resources show the 1 Corinthians was written around 55 A.D. 1 Corinthians, which we just read, where Paul made it real clear about idol is nothing, you can eat the meat. The Jewish people were still eating clean meat. 20 years after Jesus' death, Peter was still eating clean meat, only what God, by the Old Testament, said was clean. And notice that 1 Corinthians was written in 55 A.D., and Romans, and the Epistle to Romans was written from Corinth in 56 or 57 A.D. Now, Paul would not have changed his mind. He didn't have no new revelation from Jesus. Nothing was any different. It was still applying just where it always applied. It was nothing to do with whether you eat or God changed the laws concerning what you should and should not eat. He did not tell them you could start eating shrimp, crab, and lobster, because they're still scavengers and they still have the same parasites in them. And you still have the same kind of flesh and we still get the same diseases. There was a big outbreak back in 98. My Uncle Reeves from New Orleans, he might have heard of it. Louisiana, they had the outbreak of cholera. You recall that? That was one of the biggest outbreaks they had in years. And they tracked it back to seafood. Somebody had a seafood. It wasn't a gumbo, but it was a shrimp, mussels, and it had coagulated pork blood. Because, see, they do that in Louisiana. They'll take the blood and they'll cook the blood in the soup. And it was in there. Oh, boy, you got a double whammy. You got a death concoction there. And folks got sick. Now, I know some people heat it up enough. They manage to kill everything in and they get by. But God didn't even want you to have the food whether you heat it up enough. And back in them days, they wasn't cooking all the food anyway. So God says, unclean, don't roll the dice and take the chance. It's an unclean animal for you. And that was a terrible thing. People were having violent eruptions of diarrhea. I mean, people were sick. And if they had never eaten that, they wouldn't have been sick. You look at Israel when they obeyed God's laws. The sicknesses in Israel, it didn't even exist when they obeyed God. It didn't even exist when they obeyed God. But sickness was there when they were not obeying God. When they were not following his word and keeping his commandments, they were as sick as everybody else. But he promised them, if you keep my commandments and obey my statutes, none of the diseases that come upon Israel or the Gentile nation, Israel was a type of sin. None of the diseases came upon them in that day. would come upon you. And his commandments did include what to eat and what not to eat. Now, you can eat whatever you want to eat. I can't take anybody right away to eat. I just want to share a few more word of God, some things you might want to consider. It's important to realize that the New Testament writers referred to two concepts of clean and unclean and animals. And in the context, they use the word, they use two different Greek words. And in this context here, Paul used a word which was not talking about unclean or clean animal. They used the word to talk about common or uncommon. Based on usage, not on quality of meat, but based on usage. Had nothing to do with that at all. Had nothing to do with that. If time allowed, we could go and look over in Mark 7:18-19, where it talked about, you can write down a study at Mark 7:18-19, which is an often misunderstood passage. Here Jesus said, do not perceive that which entered into a man, which comes outside him, defiles him, but it's not that which in the stomach that defiles him, but is that it's something else. And everybody meant, that means Jesus said you could eat anything. No, they were still, the Pharisees and Jesus all, because see, that's when Jesus was alive. Of course, they were keeping the law in. The Bible said Jesus, so there's no need to assume that Jesus in his day, while he was alive and he was without sin and he fulfilled the law, that he broke the law, and while he was eating, was teaching eat wrong kind of food. He wasn't talking about that at all. That's in the wrong context. That's in the Old Testament. Of course he wasn't talking about eating it, because he himself, the Pharisees, him and the apostles all kept the law in the Old Testament. So of course they weren't talking about that, but people try and take that and think Jesus was teaching you can eat whatever you want to by saying that. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about people, he got on the scribes and the Pharisees later, because they were talking about the washing of the hands. And Jesus was talking about all that tradition and religion. Jesus, my hands are sufficiently clean to eat. My body has the ability to eat something. How many people washed by eating their hands and you didn't die? Even without washing your hands, you didn't die. Your body is sufficient to taking care of average germs and diseases that you eat. I hadn't washed every piece of fruit in my mouth. I hadn't always washed my hands before I ate. Jesus is saying, my body is sufficient for that, and you all upset about that. Why don't you worry about what's really dirtying up a man, a spiritual thing? He wasn't talking about the quality of meats, whether it's clean or unclean. He wasn't undone. He wouldn't undone it then, because he was obligated to continue it under law, and he never came teaching anything that wasn't under law, because he had to keep the law, because he was under law, and he taught them to obey the law and to keep the law. Again, you see another one in Colossians. In Colossians 2:16, they began to talk where Paul wrote to the Christians, said, let no one judge you concerning food or drink or regarding the festival or the new moon or the Sabbath. And some assumed that the believers were addressing eating pork. They had to assume that, though, because the Colossians never said that. They assumed they were talking about pork, and they were talking about festivals and Sabbath days and keeping new moon. Some folks, you got some folks that are so upset on what day you worship the Lord. You ought to worship him every day. If Wednesday is your holy day that you celebrate Sabbath, no, you got to do it on Sunday. It's got to be Saturday. Jewish people did it on the seventh day. Got to be the seventh day. You study the scripture real carefully. It's not to say that it has to be the seventh day. The key is y'all to worship him every day. Every day is holy unto the Lord. And Jesus did talk to folks about getting caught up on these days and observance of days. He said, no, one man celebrates this day, the other one celebrates that. The thing is that you do it. I know some people disagree with that vehemently, but read through the whole Bible. If you got something different, let me know. I had somebody, I was preaching one day, and on Seventh-day Adventist was in congregation. They sent me the teachers, the scriptures, and it was like maybe 4 or 5 pages in small type. I read it, looked at it, and still didn't change my mind. There was nothing in there that was in context that changed my mind. I was like, this is a lot of wild statements that are unrelated. I know it appears true. I can get up here and hoodwink you if you don't read the Bible, but that's why I tell you, don't believe me. Don't believe anybody. You go read the scriptures for yourself and see what the Holy Spirit tells you. You pray and say, Holy Spirit, Jesus said you'd be my teacher. Your pastor, Pastor Cook's teacher, you're not a respected person. Teach me. And you begin to study out and see what it says to you. You're going to find the same thing if you're honest. And you got an open mind, open heart. But you'll see here, that's not what happened. Other misunderstandings in 1 Timothy 4:3-5. Paul wrote and he said, there'll be false teachers to come, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has cleansed. And in that day, they had what was called asceticism. And there were false teachers who said you can get closer to God by being rude and mean to your flesh. Now, there's an avenue that's true that you're closer to God when you don't follow your flesh. But God is not into cutting yourself and doing bloodletting. He's not into abusing and going on extreme fast. He's not into that kind of stuff. But they believe as a religion that the soul is trapped within the body. So by abusing your body, you become closer to the divine. Now, that's obviously false teaching. Although it has an element of truth in it, it's false teaching. And Paul was dealing with that alone. He wasn't dealing with what was clean and what wasn't clean. He said, there'll be those that stand from eating. They were telling folks, fast for 30 days. Sometimes you go to a church and they say, fast for 30 days. It'll give you spiritual benefit. If God didn't tell you to fast for 30 days, I wouldn't suggest it. I don't care what the pastor said. I wouldn't suggest it. Unless you got a witness in your spirit to do that, because for most people, that's dangerous. Most people do not have enough stored in their body. Most people, they fast for 30 days and at least take psyllium, which is a fiber. Their body would begin to detoxify so quick, they would have such violent detoxification reactions, it would be awful. They could kill themselves. But some people, because the preacher has given an illusion that you're closer to God if you do what they did in the Bible. You're close to God if you obey the word, not if you just do what other folk did in the Bible. Find out what the word says, you obey it for yourself. Just because somebody else went on a 30-day fast and said the spiritual experience they had. There's a sermon I have out called Don't Take Another Person's Medicine. And I was at Rhema, and then a friend of mine at the church, God had told him to go 1 week and read through the whole Testament 3 times in a week. And he went through it, and he talked about how spiritually enlightened him. And then this other guy who was busy with kids, busy with a wife, busy with work, the other man was single, he tried to do that, and it just brought condemnation and guilt on him because he couldn't do it. So he felt unspiritual because he couldn't do it. Well, he was taking another man's medicine. God told that man to do that. You can't just go in the hospital and say, I'm feeling bad, give me some medicine, anything. Hey, you got a bottle of medicine, I'll take yours. That's lethal, and it's spiritually lethal as much. I want to get one more verse in. If we run out of the tape, don't get time to get it. This is the final verse for those on the tape. I want to get to Revelations. Let me see if I can find where that verse is at. And we'll close there, Revelations. Well, you know what? I just better go ahead and say it real quick, and I might have to give you the scripture. It's in Revelation, so people want to study it out. I don't have it. I've got it here, but I dropped the place of it in here somewhere. But in Revelation, there's a scripture that said where Jesus spoke to John, island of Patmos, gave him a vision of the future. And Jesus, in the book of Revelation, is talking about the future, still recur. Revelation 18:2, still referred of the future to clean and unclean animals. He didn't do away with the delineation between clean and unclean, because even in the future, he says they are clean and unclean animals. Definitely in the future, if it's clean and unclean, in the present, there's clean and unclean. Let's close in prayer. We never finish. We just unhook somewhere and go on. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, Father. We thank you for the wisdom of the word of God coming unto us. We thank you for encouraging and teaching us, Father, to obey your statutes, your commandments. We thank you that you take all the diseases and keep them from us, Father, for as we follow your word and your will in life, that we are blessed according to the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.